Hello and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this week's new episode of the Xbox Lunch Break Special. I'm your host, Mr. Boomstick XL. And folks, that gang is back together. Crazy Lou Gaming, he's running a little behind. He is in a business meeting for work. Hopefully he does get here. If not, you know, obviously he's not arrested. So that's already a plus for Crazy Lou Gaming. He didn't get locked up on the way to the show. So he's good. He's just in a business meeting, but we do have Gamsley making his return. We do have Fuzzy Belvedere fresh off an amazing vacation. And folks, we got breaking news. We got 30 frames per second games. Apparently okay if you're on Sony, but nix if you're on Xbox, which is a little ridiculous. We're going to get into that. Also, not taking the L like some people were saying, Toys for Bob going indie is actually a good thing when you consider what's happening over right now at Fire Sprite Studios with PlayStation. Lots to get into there. And of course, folks, a topic that we were supposed to cover on Friday that we're going to get to today. I've been neck deep in Halo Infinite multiplayer. I just about to cross 19 days in the game. I cannot get enough of it. I finished every season that you can do in it. Now I'm just kind of leveling up my rank to see if I can get to, you know, general or the highest rank possible there. I can't stop playing it. But why this is even a conversation is because Windows Central ran a story about how an ODST Helljumpers mode, very similar to what we see with Helldivers, coming into a Halo Infinite via Forge. And we're going to have all that information. But listen, folks, we got a big show for you. We got the Xbox partner preview coming. A lot to get into, but let's welcome back Gamsley. Hey, man, how are you feeling? Glad everything worked out you and your family last week.
Yeah, I'm alive. They're alive. Everything's good. I got Brotato over here. I'm ready to go. Let's get it done.
You know what's interesting about that game? I like it. Yeah. I don't love
it. Don't do this to me, Boom.
I have to do it. I'm sorry. I literally, folks, if you didn't know, the originator, sorry, Brotatoes fans out there, Vampire Survivors just got an update where they're in space now. So you're fighting aliens.
Oh, yeah.
And it's awesome. I just finished playing for about, I don't know, maybe about 25 minutes or so. Unlocked 3 quick achievements. Didn't realize that I missed the update for the little guy. What's that game called that you have to lie and cheat and kill other crew members?
You know what I'm talking about? The multiplayer one?
Among Us.
The imposter?
Yes, Among Us is a part of it. I just unlocked one of the characters from Among Us. I could use them. Oh, this is a really cool crossover. So, listen, folks. Again, games. Lots of games to play. We're only in March. There's still obviously 9 1/2 or 9 3/4 of a month of months left for the year. Lots to be coming over to Xbox, especially through Xbox Game Pass. And we're going to learn some more on the preview program, but we'll get to that in a second. Fuzzy Belvedere, how you feeling, brother?
Well, feeling great. Glad to be here with you guys. Man, while on vacation, you know, scrolled a few times through Twitter and still see people, you know, going after each other over crazy stuff. Yeah, but Twitter's its usual self, where, you know, can't be happy with games, or now we're, you know, saying everything's okay for games that or you know, modes that used to be, you know, unacceptable. And I don't know, it just feels like it's deja vu all over again. But
you know what, let's poke the bear here, folks. This wasn't a topic, obviously. I kind of thought about it in the back end because I read the socials. Look, I bought Final Fantasy Rebirth. Okay. Am I going to play it? Probably not, because I didn't finish Final Fantasy VII Remake. I'm about halfway through. I want to start playing it so I can get to Rebirth. I'm a big fan of this particular Final Fantasy. The problem is that I don't have enough time, and there's too many games, right? I'm still playing Halo. Sometimes I need to unwind, and I'll play something like Vampire Survivors or whatever. I'll get to it eventually, but at least I bought it. Now, the reason why I bring that up isn't because we're trying to make fun of PlayStation, folks. The reason why I'm bringing it up, and I'm going to go first to Fuzzy Belvedere, because he actually saw this. I was told that 30 frame per second games are unacceptable in 2024. Now, I'm going to take it back a year to 2023, when, of course, in September, Starfield launched. And there was a lot of hoot and hollering. There was a lot of pointed articles. As a matter of fact, people actually took points off of their overall score because this game was only in 30 frames per second. And it turns out one of the most anticipated games for PlayStation that is, in fact, a console exclusive, like Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Well, folks, the actual dev is telling people, Fuzzy Belvedere, that you should play this in 30 frames per second because, unfortunately, the performance mode is broken. And yes, a patch is coming, but this game got 10s. This game got 9.5s. And I'm just saying that, folks, if this isn't a perfect example of the quote-unquote Xbox tax, I don't even know what else is. One platform is not allowed any leeway, even when it's the developer telling you, listen, we wanted to do 30 frames because we're telling a cinematic story, and this is what we wanted to do. And all you got was boos and jeers. And of course, I'm talking about Bethesda with Starfield. Now, the copium that is out there on the socials, and again, we don't name names here. We don't put anybody on blast. There's no reason to do that. That's being a bully. And well, we don't like bullying here on Double Barrel Gaming, so we don't say names. But you might have seen some of the people out there saying, whoa, hold on a sec. This game looks gorgeous at 30. I'm okay because it's an RPG. I don't know if that, in fact, is the truth. And again, smaller topic to kind of open up the show, but I wanted to poke the bear a little bit because I feel that this is the Xbox tax on display. Why? The question that you have to ask, chat, is why is it acceptable when PlayStation does things, no matter what they do, good, bad, or otherwise? It's like, thumbs up for PlayStation. We got no beef. Anytime, even if it's a misstep, Xbox, it is put on blast, points are removed, people are very vocal about it, but it's the hush-hush money from PlayStation that keeps these journalists in check. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, it's a funny thing. When it comes to any Xbox game, it's like, oh, because it's the most powerful console, oh, it's not hitting 60 frames, it's automatically like a death sentence on that game in comparison to any other 30 frames game that is out there. But the minute it's on PlayStation, oh yeah, it's great for the cinematic experience, or it makes for a better game because we can get better visuals, even though it's, you know, 30 frames. But, you know, this is the same crowd that also is so concerned with Hiroki Totoki putting games on PC probably sooner rather than later with that day and date deal. But once again, people are going to say that 30 frames are okay, and then probably when Avowed comes out, they'll hate it again. Or when Hellblade 2 comes out, they'll hate 30 frames again. It's without fail. If it was, you know, an Xbox game that was hitting 60 frames and none of the PlayStation games were hitting 60 frames, then we wouldn't even be talking about frame rates at all. But the minute it's, you know, 30 frames for an RPG, like, perfect example, Dogma 2, Dragon's Dogma 2 is probably going to be 60 frames if you have VRR turned on either your PS5 or your Series X type of deal. It's going to be an uncapped frame, but they're pretty good as far as optimization. So we'll see how things go in that regard. But as far as all of a sudden, when it's that PlayStation exclusive that can't hit the 60 frames, now it's an acceptable thing. You'll see the gaming media do it. You'll see, you know, PlayStation fans on social media talk about it and stuff like that. But when it comes to, you know, Starfield, oh no, it was totally unacceptable that this game didn't reach 60 frames, even though it was doing it on PC. But because it wasn't doing on the world's most powerful console, oh, it's an L. But, you know, you won't get that same energy from the PlayStation crowd. I'm just wondering what they'll do when, you know, their PS5 Pro comes out and you get similar performance out of that. Maybe you'll get a 45 frames mode, because I don't think that even that console, even though it's a upgrade from the standard PS5, I don't think it will be able to push every game to 60 frames, but we'll see soon enough, because I think there's an announcement imminent here pretty soon. But it's funny to me that, you know, once again, the double standard, the Xbox tax or the PlayStation tax redemption kind of or tax exemption, I should say, as far as for the PlayStation brand is added again. So, you know, it's the same old, same old.
It is. And Curry Cosmos asks, isn't Starfield an RPG? Indeed, it is. Indeed, it is, Curry. And thank you for pointing that out, because Final Fantasy VII, RPG. Starfield, RPG, but one doesn't look like the other here, apparently, to some. And we learned about that on Sesame Street way back in the days. But Gamsley, let's talk about it, because, again, this is not the biggest topic of the show. We're going to get into more fun and serious conversation, but I think it's one that's it's definitely worth having, because, you know, we were told by IGN specifically, hey, you guys are just wearing tinfoil hats, right? There's no tax, you know, stop it. We were also told by several journalists that the mere thought or mention of tax makes us, the person or people saying it, irrelevant to the conversation, because it's that tinfoil hat wearing stuff. But I think it's safe to say that, look, no one is denying Sony being the market leader. They continue to be the market leader. They continue to sell out on their handheld. Everywhere you go, it's sold out. So good for Sony, right? They're selling consoles left, right, and center. Fantastic. They have a bunch of third-party games that are exclusive to the brand this year that I think a lot of people are going to enjoy. I don't know if Stellar Blade, Rise of the Ronin, and Final Fantasy VII Rebirth are going to hit the 5 to 10 million range that some people hope that it does hit, because they're, you know, two of which are new IPs. I own one. I've already have pre-ordered the other two, so I'm excited for those, but I don't know where they're going to go with sales. But getting back to this particular situation, even with this game having to be played until the patch comes where they can do 60, people gave this game 10s. And I find that very, very weird, that if it's missing a mode or a mode is broken, how come none of that is ever mentioned in these reviews? It's like, okay, no, they're going to get a patch. No, don't worry about it. But if it's an Xbox game, I'm taking points off. I think any Xbox game that's an exclusive or automatically loses a point. That's just me wearing a tinfoil hat. But let's talk about 30 frames versus 60. What do you feel? Do you feel that there is a double standard happening here?
Yeah. You know, I don't read these guys' articles anymore. I don't read most articles anymore. I just tend to stick with my favorite YouTuber, like Boom and Fuzzy over here with his beautiful bald head. I 30 frames to me as a gamer for a long time, I never really got the conversation. I don't really care. You see, like, Breath of the Wild doing 30. It's an open world game, right? It's one of the best games in decades. Same with its sequel, same with Elden Ring, same with most of the best games last generation. This 60 frame conversation has been recent, in my opinion, because we're getting a little spoiled, right? We have all this technology that shines really brightly. We have 240 hertz displays. We have great technology. But as technology grows, so does the dev kind of ambition, right? The dev's ambitions grow as well. So it's really hard for these devs to hit every note, match the technology, and also console technology, because it's always backward and it's not powerful enough to hit their ambitions. So I always find it weird. They're always going to be a sacrifice to most of these games. Like, if you want to go for a linear story, it'll probably hit 60, but interactivity will not be there. Kind of like, you know, Starfield and RPGs have all these moving pieces. It's really hard to get a balance with the CPU and GPU working together. And especially for consoles, really hard to get a steady 30 and do everything. You know what I mean, Fuzzy? Like, it's really hard to do everything and get a steady 60 to 120 to match the technology we have, or the TVs we have and all that stuff. Especially for like consoles, okay? Yeah. Consoles. So the 30 FPS thing never bothered me. As long as the game is not competitive, if it's a competitive game, I better see 60 to 120 frames or else, you know, why even do it? Hence why, you know, Halo multiplayer is so well done and it looks the way it does and runs the way it does. But yeah, it never mattered. You know, single player games to me, again, most of the best ones of all time have been 30 on consoles and we still love them. So it's been really harshly attacked recently, the 30 versus 60 versus 120. And I'm tired of it. And yeah, it's pretty clear, right? One thing's for sure, though, fan bases matter, franchises matter, things that are nostalgic to us matter. It sways opinions to a lot of people reviewing them. Final Fantasy is close to a lot of people's hearts. We give him, it's one of the best games ever made of all time, right? Final Fantasy VII. So I guess they just like push their narrative forward with it and be like, yeah, it's okay. We tend to blink and look the other way when a game is nostalgic and really, really good. Final Fantasy, by the way, is very good. But
it is.
Now to get back to the criticism. Yes, I do think there's sometimes a little bit of a like the nostalgia and the bias shows very clearly in these sites. And I think we need to like settle down a little bit. And I never really noticed it until I really fully paid attention to this stuff. And it's getting a little ridiculous. It's like, okay, Starfield doesn't hit 60 often, but man, does it have so much interactability with it. Yeah. It has so much moving parts. You can't even hop over a fence in Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. You know what I'm saying? You goonies. So it's a different game. But yeah, I agree. I think it's a little ridiculous. I think we need to be fair and take our goggles off sometimes. And sometimes that's really hard when you're clouded by nostalgia and franchises you love completely versus, you know, newer games or wherever you're going. Yeah, I think there's a clear bias. And I think gamers nowadays should focus because we know that the AAA sphere is really expensive. And to get a game perfect like you want it just won't happen. You won't get 120 frames with a big world and tons of interactability and whatever and hit 60 to 120. It's just not happening on consoles because ambition grows as technology grows. So we don't know where that's going to go. So be comfortable. I really just start being comfortable with good games, fun games. If they're not broken, you know, don't fucking complain so much about the 30 versus 60. That being said, we also look the other way when we tend to look the other way, to my point, when games are fun as hell, like Helldivers 2, we look the other way. That game, by the way, also ran like garbage. Did we just look the other way to Helldivers 2? You know, it's like politicians. They prioritize a bunch of stuff, right? And we vote for it with our wallet, with our say, right? You're like, indeed. Oh, I like this guy because he has, I don't know, Medicare on top of his list instead of number 5. So I want to vote for that guy. Well, devs are the same ways. Some devs prioritize fun, then they go with interactability and mechanics and all that stuff, and then there's frames per second. What do they want to hit, right? For Helldivers, frames per second was stability was they just aim for fun, and look what it did. We didn't care. We looked the other way. So I don't know. The 30 versus 60 thing is always rough and dumb. But time to take our bias goggles off, guys. All these sites, we need to wake up and be fair, I think. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, that was a whole turnaround circus to get to the point. No, but no, yeah, it's complicated.
Yeah, you know what? Here's the thing. The one thing that you'll learn about social media, and unless we're all adults here, right? We understand social media at its core, is a great place to meet people. Sure. A great place to have fun conversations. But one of the things that, social media lacks is, honesty sometimes, not all, of course. Disingenuous conversation is something that leads the charge, especially when it comes to this console war shenanigans. Even if you are a multi-console owner, like pretty much all of us here are, There is the thought that, well, you know, this is my preferred box. It has games A, B, and C, and that box over there has games, you know, D, E, and F. I don't like those games. And if a game over there is running what people consider to be underperforming at 30 frames per second, it's not acceptable. But on their box, this is where the disingenuous conversation comes. Oh, no, no, it's okay. But they already, but the patch is coming. Now, is the patch live? I honestly don't know. I saw someone in the chat say it's not coming for 2 months. That's kind of shitty if that's in fact the case. The game just released. It released to 10s across the board on many. And I'm not saying that it's not a 10. The game looks gorgeous. And it's if it plays anything like Final Fantasy VII Remake, it's going to be a banger, no doubt. But how do we...
Consistency, right, Boom?
Yes, it's consistency. Yes.
And it's like I said, yo, Helldivers 2 got a 9. It has no story. It has nothing that, like, people are comparing it to Halo. You guys are comparing it to Halo. Halo does 3 things. It's a community game. Yeah. So it has dev tools to create things within it. It has multiplayer that hits. And it also has a single player narrative that hits. And all of a sudden, you know, we just ignore that that's a thing that we like to score on. And Helldivers 2 gets a 9.
Come on.
Guys, let's be real. But anyway,
Listen, I have publicly said that I have quite frankly enjoyed all of my time in Helldivers. The only time I did not have fun is instead of fighting bugs, I was fighting servers. And every time I fought the servers, I lost. Now
that's notable, right? That's
It should be notable. It absolutely should be notable. But to be fair, I haven't been back since. I went back to Halo. I closed out 2 of my open seasons that I had. Now I've completed every season, and I'm just playing Halo. I'm just back to playing Halo Infinite. I love it. I'm about to cross 19 days in the game, and I'm not sorry that I did. And I'm very interested to see what. As a matter of fact, we're going to segue into the story, being that you mentioned Helldivers, and I'm going to go right to you first, Gamsley. Let me pull up the story. Now, this story comes to us from Windows Central. It was posted last week. It was written by Brendan Lowry of the site. And the lead article, the lead title for the article says, Helldivers 2 is not on Xbox, but this Halo Infinite mode built in Forge could be the next best thing. A near flawless Halo PvE experience is what it's being called. He goes on to say, if you're bummed about Helldivers 2 missing Xbox, this upcoming Halo mode will be right up your alley. So this is what he has here, folks. Look, I'm not going to front. I'm a nerd. Proud. I didn't even start reading, and because I read this article 4 times, I'm getting goosebumps because that's how much of a fan of Halo I am, right? So this is what you need to know about this mode, who is making it, what the mode is going to be, and when it's going to be available. Okay, and again, shout out to, of course, Brendan Lowry of Windows Central for putting this amazing article for us to talk about. And this is what he says. What you need to know, Helldivers 2 is one of 2024's most popular new games and a terrific co-op shooter. But sadly, it's exclusive to PlayStation 5 and PC and cannot be played on Xbox. However, it looks like Xbox gamers will soon have an enjoyable alternative to Helldivers 2 to play thanks to the hard work of the talented Halo Infinite forgers. And this is, it goes on to say this, folks. They are a sizable team of forgers called the Forge Falcons, and they are creating a Helldivers 2 experience for Halo Infinite called Helljumpers. Notably, the group is known for previously making modes such as the Battle Royale experience in Inheritor. It goes on to say Helljumpers will have procedural objectives, in-game progression, upgrade systems, boss fights, extractions, drop pods, and much, much more. And it is, in fact, coming soon. Now, I actually got into a... I don't want to say an argument. I don't argue with any people on the socials. I had a guy reach out to me because I was excited about this. I put it out there, and he's like, "Well, they shouldn't call it Helljumpers because that is, Helldivers 2 is already out." Listen, folks, if you didn't already know, and sorry I have to bring this up, ODST Helljumpers, which was Halo 3, launched almost 15 years ago. So I think they got the drop on them, pun intended. Helldivers is its own thing. Helljumpers is actually part of Halo lore. That's what they are called. Those are the regular Marines, the ODST guys that are shot down in pods, just like Helldivers. So I don't know why we can't have both. And even the director of Helldivers 2 was like, I don't understand. Why are we insulting Halo? Why are we insulting Helldivers? Why can't we play both? And I agree 1,000% with him. He actually put it out on the social because some guy was like, hey, Xbox, guess what? Helldivers 2 is dumping on Halo right now. Okay, I mean, it's a new game. It's hot. It's $40. Maybe Halo is, you know, it's not hitting the marks that maybe for you, it's hitting the marks for me. I mean, there's no current season. Well, actually, there is a current season. I've already blew through it because it's an amazing piece of content. I can't stop playing. But, Gamzee, let's talk about this because, again, you made mention in the last conversation that we had that there's something special about Halo Infinite. It has its community-focused Forge mode where people from the community come out and they design these amazing levels. Some of them are on alien planets. Some of them are on Star Wars. Some of them are in Shogun areas where it looks like it's ancient Japan. And we can play them and we enjoy them. And we don't have to pay anything because they're in there. It's in Forge. People are creating on a regular basis. But Halo Infinite has a single player story that's amazing, has a multiplayer that continues to get better. It's one of the best multiplayer shooters out right now. I actually would dare say that 343 has even out-bungied Bungie when it comes to shooting, in my opinion. But let's talk about the Helljumpers mode. Again, it's going to be free. It doesn't have a release date, but when it launches, I could imagine a lot of people, you know, latching onto this game. What are your thoughts, man?
Yeah, like I said on the top, Halo is one of the rarest, like it's one of the only games that gets harshly reviewed on all three of its aspects. You know, does it have a forge, the community building? It gets harshly accused with the single player stuff. It also gets judged on its multiplayer, and then they congeal it all together and give it one big score, right? And usually it nails it. Usually it gets high scores. Infinite got high scores. Let's not forget, guys, Infinite was a good game. It just lacked content, all right? We scored it well. Everybody liked it. Everybody loved it. They then, you know, after the honeymoon stage, just like in Helldivers 2, they noticed that it's a little bit lacking in certain areas. And then we started to, like, rebel and, you know, rightfully so. It just was not complete on launch. It was a great game. And this is an example of its community being special and awesome. I haven't played it. It's out this new like mode. I haven't played it. I just like seen it and done all that stuff. It looks pretty awesome. Sounds cool. It's not going to be nearly as, you know, it won't have as much detail in its mechanics as Helldivers 2, but look what the community is doing with it. It's a all-encompassing game, and it looks fun as hell, and I can't wait to jump in and have some fun. Let's just have some fun, and let's stop being losers about this stuff. Why are we comparing these two games? Why does it matter? Sony released... What was that game that, like, a creation tool that, you know, started ripping off a bunch of IPs as well? Which one was that? It was the one by Dreams, yes.
Yes. Like,
these creation tool things are special, and we always rip off some things as a community. We always try to mimic some things, and it's good for the community. It's good for games. Let's have some fun in Helljumpers. Let's go do that. The Halo community is great. I love the game. I'm ready for this mode. Maybe me and Fuzzy and that beautiful bald head could jump in there and kill some things.
No,
I always said though, I want ODST to have a Helldivers 2 skin. You know, I'm one of those people that said it really early. I want an ODST game with a Helldivers 2 theme and mechanics and all that stuff. I'm ready for that. I think we're gonna get something like that.
Yeah, I got one better for you, Gamsley. I would imagine that they have already. Maybe they have. They will not. They won't announce it. Maybe by the end of this year. Maybe they won't. But the way Sony saw this game take off, well, Sony's in a bit of fiscal troubles. So obviously, they looked at this and they said, "Wait a second, Xbox gamers are asking for this. The studio could probably put something together." Now it's gonna. They only developed for PC, from what I understand, PC and PlayStation 5. I don't think that this was ever thought to be coming over to Xbox. And again, there's no announcement, folks, but I would imagine Sony wants to make money, right? And this is where we get into the third-party conversation. It's happening sooner than later. And Helldivers 2 is going to be dropped. When? I don't know. Maybe this time next year, as the one-year anniversary passes, boom, it drops on Xbox. And everybody buys it, because I'll buy it to play it on Xbox. At least the servers are going to work. You know what I'm saying? Again, it is what it is. Listen, Fuzzy, before I bring you in, let me catch up on the Super Chats. There's been quite a few of them. We have Dan Otaku. Welcome, Dan. Nice to see you. Don Otaku. Don, thank you for being here, brother. He drops a very generous $5 Super Chat and says, watching the Dune Awakening Direct, and God. That game looks amazing and should be on your radar. Looks too good to be true, almost like Destiny and Rust. So the Destiny part of it, you got me. The Rust, oh God, I don't know. Is there resource management? Because there is. I don't know if I want to be a part of it, but I'm going to definitely check it out. Actually, didn't even know that was happening. So thank you so much, Don. Super appreciate it. Andre Doyle drops a very generous $2 Super Chat and says, Xbox Partner Showcase just announced for March 6th. Yeah, we're going to be covering that in a few moments. We're definitely going to get into that as well. C Mustard, on point for foodies, drops an outstanding $10 Super Chat and says, this was me talking about the similar names, Boom, and I wasn't really making a big deal. I haven't played all of the Halo, so I don't know about the Helljumpers being first. Well, I mean, look, the Helljumpers, it's what they're called. It's what they're called. They have patches. It's part of Halo lore. Lore. It's been a part of the Halo lore since ODST. I don't think that you have to have one or the other. I think you can have both. I think that if you were to actually ask the guys that developed Helldivers 2, maybe they don't admit it publicly, but a lot of the inspiration that they have gotten, I'm sure they got from Helljumpers, ODST, because you know the ODST, they drop in pods that are almost identical to what's dropped there. They're just not fighting bugs. They're fighting Covenant. So, I mean, for some people it's going to matter, for others, I don't care. I'll take both. Give me both. Give me a mode for both IPs and you're going to get me to play both IPs. I have no problem. First of all, I know a lot of people don't like the up, down, down, left, right, BA, select, start to drop your stuff. I actually like it because it's challenging. Like you gotta be quick to drop extra so you can reload or, you know, do an orbital strike. You got to be quick with it. So that to me is fun, not for everybody, but.
Oh man, could you imagine Boom like a StarCraft version? Like, dude, of that genre?
I kind of wonder, honestly.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, it's. Now, I don't know, why can't I think of that? Fuzzy, what's the studio's name that made Helldivers?
Arrowhead.
Okay, that's what. Thank God. I couldn't think about that. I think what Arrowhead honestly did is they might have unearthed the next big thing. I think co-op shooters are amazing. I usually roll with randos, which is perfectly fine. I haven't had a chance to roll with a crew because when I'm able to play, other guys are working, and when at night it's all Mrs. Boom time, so I don't really get a chance to play at night. I really think that you're going to start to see people, developers, meaning, make games like this, and I'm all for it. I'm saddened, and I'm going to be completely honest with you, folks. As much as I applaud 343 for what they have done, Halo Infinite not having a continuation in the single player to me is a giant L. I've already made that publicly clear. The fact that we are not getting an official Hell Jumpers, and thank God for Forge, because these Forgers are going to make it, and it's going to be damn amazing. I'd like to see that made official. Pay these people. You know what I'm saying? You know, let that make that an official mode. Put that on Front Street when it's released, so we don't have to go looking for it. Advertise it. Let people know that these Forgers made this amazing thing and put it out there. And if they need help, send some help over there to let them finish it, so you can get it out there. Because this is, to me, it's a giant miss. It's a W for PlayStation, because for co-op, for fans of co-op type games like this, it's when it's working, man, it works really good. It's fun to play and it's hard as hell. Fuzzy, let's bring you in on the conversation. Helljumpers mode coming. Obviously, ODST is a major part of the Halo lore, and it's a big part of the franchise. Obviously, when Halo 3 ODST launched, it was such a different Halo game compared to the three prior. You're just a drop trooper. We learned about Buck, his history. It turns out that he winds up being on Team Osiris all the years later. Mm-hmm. Pretty impressive stuff right there. Let's talk about this. Are you excited for this mode? And quickly, do you think it's a bite off of Helldivers, or do you think it can exist in its own world?
I think it can exist in its own world, because in gaming, there are a lot of games that, you know, take livery from other games. So it's like a common thing for the most part. I mean, if it wasn't for Fortnite kind of copying off of PUBG, where would any of these, you know, battle royales be today, type of thing? So there's always, you know, liveries from other games in, you know, main franchises and things like that. The Helljumpers aspect, the lore behind that, seems a lot similar to what Helldivers came up with. So they may have, like you said, the authors of Helldivers may have borrowed some of that or been inspired by that in itself to put into their own game. So I'm fine with them both existing. I really wish 343 as a whole was a little bit more nimble as far as being able to pivot, whether it's, you know, single player content or, you know, like we've already talked about in the past, like a horror mode with like the Flood or something along those lines. So there's so many things within the Halo universe that they can try and do. And luckily we have things like Forge to kind of, you know, be that go-between or that stopgap where we can kind of create our own modes, play around in our own sandbox kind of thing. And, you know, if it winds up being popular enough, hopefully the devs will take enough, you know, or take enough notice where they make or create something to integrate that into a future title or make that an offshoot. Like we all, like everybody's looking forward to possibly a Halo Wars 3 or something along those lines. So there's so much potential within that universe that, you know, other games could, you know, pop up quite easily. But yeah, a Helljumpers, yeah, that is going to be something that it'd be curious to see how much or the legs that it has, because I have a gut feeling it might get a lot more people to return to like the Forge mode and just play that, you know, nonstop for a few months. And then hopefully, you know, 343 will look into, you know, doing something a little bit more permanent or, you know, something official, like you said. But
yes,
yeah, it Forge it in itself, just having those tools is an awesome thing. We talked about how it would bring life into the multiplayer mode as far as people creating different things. And, you know, this is another good example of what, you know, what the player community can do. And given enough time and wherewithal, we can just about make any type of game that we want out of Halo. But Helljumpers, I'm looking forward to it. Definitely would give it a try. Let's see what the future holds as far as for something a little bit more permanent as well.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. And folks, listen, we have a special guest joining us. He was chilling. He got his computer, he's got his PC back up and running. Sir X-Men, how you feeling, for kind sir? Welcome.
I'm getting there. I'm feeling better. How's everybody doing? Been a while.
Doing good. Listen, we're talking about Halo and Helljumpers versus Helldivers 2. I'm not sure if you got a chance to read the article. Obviously, the article was dropped last week.
I saw it.
Oh, you did see it from Windows Central.
I see the clips, yeah.
Yeah, so Brendan Lowry wrote the article, and it's very exciting because Forge is a mode that has hit its stride. And if you know anything about Forge, and you have to know about John from Xbox Ever, who is considered one of these Forgers. The guy has worked with 343. He has been a part of the Forging community forever. And I'm sure, we don't have John here, I'm not going to speak for him, but I'm sure he's excited. Before we move on to the next topic, though, let's get your hot take on this. Okay, so Helljumpers is a part of Halo lore. It has been for years. Now, obviously, they have a mode that's coming out via Forge. There's no release date, but they do have a team, a known team, called the Forge Falcons. And they have done a battle royale in Forge that people enjoyed. I didn't play because battle royale, not really my thing. But this particular Helljumpers mode that's going to focus on ODST is coming, and it is going to be something that you can play. You're going to be able to level up. You're going to have boss fights. As a matter of fact, before I let you continue, let me just get into a super chat here. Because Lieutenant Hulk actually said something similar to what you said, Fuzzy. He says this after dropping a $2 super chat. Yo, boom. Hashtag ODST versus the Flood with Spartans as backup. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? That is an amazing. Hire this man, folks. Hire this man because that's what we need in our lives. First of all, I'll say this. The fact that we don't have any Flood to fight in all of these years, I'm sorry. Who do I need to assault verbally? 343 Industries, because this is not right. The Flood is an amazing. I mean, it could be your zombie mode, if you will. Come on. So let's
somebody
talk about
sleeping
it.
Sleeping over there. Somebody sleeping over there at 343.
No, I don't
dude.
Know. They have new management, so the new management isn't sleeping. We did hear last week, or was it the week before, that someone that used to work for 343 Industries said that they pitched a ODST Helldivers type of mode, and the people, the management in charge at the time were like, no, I don't like it. So listen, I don't know if that's how they sound. I'm just being facetious, but are you excited to see that we might get a Helldivers 2 type of experience for Halo?
You know, I've experienced that mode before where you drop in from the sky onto, and a lot of people don't know this game. But this game, this is even before Apex Legends. It was called Section 8. And it started all that dropping from the sky, you and a group of friends and some other people just coming in and clearing the area and taking out the enemies. That's where that mode originally started. So all these modes with Helldivers and Helljumpers, they all started from that mode right there and Apex Legends. So I give it to Apex Legends for actually bringing that innovation back, dropping down, even though it's a battle royale style, but they started that trend. So just like everything else, it's copy and paste with new innovations. So I do compliment Helldivers for their drop from the sky Starship Trooper modes, but it's been done before, and it's improving. Just like Power World, it improved on the genre of, you know, I'm not going to say the Nintendo stuff.
You know what's interesting, sir? Can I just congratulate you on reminding me of something? As a host, I should be ashamed of myself that I did not think about this. But if I'm not mistaken, Gamsley and Fuzzy, call me crazy here, but Helldivers 2 I'm not saying it because I want to be insulting. I'm saying that I see the comparisons, like, well, you can't have Helljumpers because Helldivers 2 exists. Well, if that, in fact, is the case, then why does Helldivers 2 exist when that was a film prior, right? We had films then. I'm just saying that.
You well, know, I mean, it's an extraction shooter, and those existed for a very long time. So, fuck off with that shit, guys. I mean, sorry.
Nah, it's fine.
Sorry.
It's, fine.
It's an extraction shooter. I'm sorry. I dropped the F-bomb.
It's okay. Yeah. We're allowed one per show before the YouTube shuts us down. It's okay. It's
you can miss me with the whole, like, stop copying stuff. I mean, it's an extraction shooter. My God. Second Extinction.
Yeah.
You know, all that stuff. So stop it, you know.
Yeah, because technically, what do you call it? Titanfall was pretty much like that too. You jump in with a crew, you take them out. So then with a second iteration of just jumping from the sky or jumping from the transport and go clear the area. Mm. Same thing. Helldivers is just 10 years later, an upgrade to that. So it's no different. Now the innovation with the bugs and the graphics and the mechanics and it being, what do you call it? That stuff everybody has, gas game, you know, it's just another innovation to that. So I'm not mad about that. But Xbox said they're going to do it, and you know we're going to get the heat. Oh, they're copying from Helldivers. They're copying from Helldivers. They were doing stuff like that first. You know, you jump in, you kill all the creatures with the fire. What do you call it? Firefights.
Yeah, you firefight.
Know, and Gears and Gears of War created that. You know, firefights. So it's pretty much the same thing, just new innovation on multiple games. So let Xbox do it and do it their way. I still was looking for the Halo Battle Royale first, but you know. It is what it is. Enjoy what you enjoy. And on your thing about the Final Fantasy being 30 frames a second, yeah, I heard that conversation. Double standard sucks. The Xbox tax is real. And if you're living in a false illusion that it doesn't exist for about 8 years, you've seen the tax. Yep, so you can't say it's not real, but it is.
Yeah, again, it's a perfect example of it. One can do it, the other one can't. That's just the way it is. It's fine. It's championed by one and booed by the other. Yeah,
I don't listen to them.
No, and as you shouldn't. But again, it's just it's disappointing. Look, if you see something like that on social media, you chalk it up as well. That's just social media.
And boom, right? Play your Final Fantasy so we can have proof that there's load screens in that game. Since
someone actually put that in the chat screen earlier. No one's talking about how brutal.
That was me. I put that in there. Yeah. How
brutal the
double agent.
I mean, it's I call me crazy, folks, but if I remember fairly here. One of the biggest takeaways from some people that reviewed Starfield is look at these loading screens. They are egregious.
And we haven't got to the point where we don't have load screens in games. It's a normal thing.
Yeah.
I don't know why people are criticizing, dude. Look, your game has a loading screen. I mean, what do you call it? What's that game we just talked about? Helldivers. It has loading screens. I don't see nobody complaining about that.
No. Again, it's just a double standard. It's very disappointing. And what my whole point with it is it disappointing for for social media? Well, that's just social media, folks. No,
social media loves drama like that.
It's disappointing for me as someone that really puts a lot of effort into the shows that I do. A lot of work goes behind the scenes about getting the correct information. When you get it wrong, put it out on put it out there on Front Street. Let people know you got it wrong, and correct it. You know, supposedly there's supposed to be something called journalistic integrity, where you're supposed to actually, I know. Shame on me for thinking about journalists actually not fanboying and giving things extra points for their favorite platform and taking points away because it's not. It sucks. But
Real quick, to your point on journalism, how many of those guys really went to journalism school?
I wish they put their I don't even know how to even answer that. Maybe half, maybe. I don't know. Maybe they just fell into it. Oh, I can write negatively about Xbox. I'll get a job. And someone hires them.
Didn't they hire a long time ago a guy that, like, plagiarized his way up and then they had to fire him?
Yeah, they had to fire him, yes. Yeah.
Correct. Yep.
It's not good. But listen, let me catch up on these super chats, folks, and then we will get to the next topic. We're talking about toys for Bob and why them going indie is actually a really good thing and what they intend to do with Microsoft, because I do feel that Banjo-Kazooie is still probable from that studio, whether it's a remake, whether it's a retelling. They are apparently going to work with Microsoft. But I think that them going indie is better than closing the studio.
Oh, this is a snake. This is a hidden snake with this project. I already talked about it on GRG Friday. And it was like, oh, we didn't think about that. That was smart.
we'll get to that in a hot second. We have, I think it's Sloth in the chat. Drops a very generous $5 super chat and says, is it me or would a BR in ODST universe be insanely good? Maybe Spartans could be some type of call-in. I don't know. Just a thought. Well, the one thing that we know about the Battle Royale game, apparently that's not happening. It does exist in Forge, which if you want to play it there, you can. Supposedly, from what we've heard, and actually Jez Corden of Windows Central talked about this, that the certain affinity game grew into this other thing. Now, what that other thing is, we don't know. They're still working on it. They said it's one of the biggest projects they've ever worked on. That means that this thing got way bigger than they originally thought. So maybe it's going to be a game in itself. Maybe it's set in the Halo universe. I honestly don't know. Maybe there's going to be a Battle Royale to be a part of this. Again, hopefully we learn something this summer. The more we get closer to June, the more rumblings I'm starting to hear about this is going to be a killer show. What's going to be in the show? Your guess is as good as mine at this point, but it's going to be big. They have a lot to show. We have here Chris Washington drops a very generous $5 super chat and says, hi, guys. Hi, friends. In my head, Fuzzy, glad you're back. Thank you so much for that, kind sir. We have Barbecue Game Cat. Hey, welcome to the program, and thank you for the generosity. They drop a very generous $5 super chat and says, ODST equals orbital drop shock troopers. FYI, love you guys. Well, love you too, brother. And thank you for the clarifications. And some people didn't even know what the ODST actually meant. So thank you so much for that. God Emperor Sofa King drops a very generous $2 super chat and says, Ayo, breaking. Final Fantasy Rebirth sales down 30%. Yeah, usually, look, Final Fantasy VII Remake, if you're a fan, I urge you to go and play the game. It's gorgeous. And if you're a Final Fantasy VII fan, I don't like all of Final Fantasy. I like Final Fantasy VII specifically. So I quite enjoyed my time with the remake. I would imagine I'm going to enjoy my time with Rebirth. Sales are going to drop off because only the diehards are going to buy it. Casuals are not buying it. They're just not. I'm sorry. The first one sold upwards of 5 million. I think the total is 7 million now.
That's because you can also play it on PC. So a lot of people bought Final Fantasy VII Remake on PC also. You didn't have to have a PlayStation for it.
Right. So we'll see what happens. The sales are going to drop because only the hardcore or the diehard RPG fans are going to buy that game. Let's see. We have here Cheap Skink in the chat. Welcome. Thank you and so much for the very generous $5 super chat. And says Warhammer 40K has been using drop ships for over a decade. Helldivers is a copy of Starship Troopers using 40K drop ships. I mean, it is. It's almost, I don't want to say it's a one-to-one because it's not really, but it's close. They're running idle by each other, you know, Helldivers and Starship Troopers. I mean, but I don't care. It's a good game. I'm having fun with it. Does it matter? It shouldn't matter. No. But okay, so folks, listen, let's get into this. Fuzzy, I'm going right to you, brother. Okay, so we learned that, and again, this came out as negativity for some reason. Toys for Bob announced via their website that they were going indie. They were going to go back to their roots of what made Toys for Bob the company that they are. I would imagine that means that they're going to be making platformers of some sorts. But I do have the presser in front of me. This is dated February 29th, 2024. And it's a big splash screen. We are going indie. And it says this. This was written by Paul Yan and Avery Lodato. They are the studio heads over at Toys for Bob. And this is what they had to say. We're thrilled to announce that Toys for Bob is spinning off as an independent game studio. Over the years, we've inspired love, joy, and laughter for the inner child in all gamers. We've pioneered new IP and hardware technologies in Skylanders. We've raised the bar for best-in-class remasters for Spyro Reignited Trilogy. We've taken Crash Bandicoot to innovative, critically acclaimed new heights. And with some of the enthusiasm and passion, we believe that now is the time to take the studio for and our future games to the next level. This opportunity allows us to return to our roots of being a small and nimble studio. To make this news even more exciting, we're exploring a possible partnership between our new studio and Microsoft. And while we're in the early days of developing our next new game and ways away from making any announcements, our team is excited to develop new stories, new characters, and new gameplay experiences. Our friends at Activision and Microsoft have been extremely supportive of our new direction, and we're confident that we will continue to work closely together as part of our future. And in closing, so keep your horns on and your eyes out for more news. That kind of a little bit of a Spyro dig there, in my opinion. Thank you to our community of players for always supporting us through our journey. We can't wait to share updates of our new adventure as an indie studio. Talk to you soon. Let's talk about this, because this was carved out on social media and through the gaming media that this was a bad thing. This was a giant L for Xbox. This is not a giant L, because all you have to do is look what's happening over at FireSprite. FireSprite, now again, this is a story that I pulled, Fuzzy Belvedere, from GameIndustry.biz. And let me see who wrote it, because I don't see it here. It was by Jeffrey Ryo Sousa. He's a staff writer. This was published the same day of February 29th. And we learned that there is a lot of dysfunction. There is a lot of unhappy developers. The studio has changed in a direction that a lot of people don't like. They have lost staff members to layoffs. I would imagine there are some people looking to leave the studio entirely. I think that if you force Toys for Bob to be who they were at Activision, this is what you get. I think this is a brilliant, absolutely brilliant move. So I'm going to let you take over hosting duties, Fuzzy, if you don't mind, because I got to go take care of my nephew. I got to pick him up downstairs. I'll be back in a second, but answer that question towards everybody on the panel.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks, brother.
For me, I kind of view it as it was one of two options that they were probably left with. It was probably that, you know, shutter the studio or allow them to go independent. And the reason why I say that is because they already lost the building that they were leasing, shortly after the acquisition and everything was finalized. There were already layoffs amongst some of the Activision studios. You know, the leadership for Xbox had already visited there. We already know that they canceled the Odyssey game that was over at Blizzard. Whatever Toys for Bob may have been working on may not have, you know, met what they were looking for as far as for, you know, funding it or green lighting it beyond where it already was. Considering that they were working as a help studio or like a support studio for Call of Duty, and probably those devs not really wanting to do that, there were only but so many options. We even heard rumors earlier on that there were some layoffs potentially there. So I think to counter that, you know, the devs themselves got together. I don't know if they had to put any funding up or if it was just a matter of, hey, we already don't have a building. Can we at least have the name? Obviously, you guys keep the IP, but can we at least have, you know, the Toys for Bob name? And, you know, we'll be willing to, you know, on call work for you guys in a partnership where if you want Spyro or you know, Crash Bandicoot title, we'll put all of our attention to that. You know, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But in the meantime, you know, that small passion project that we may have been, you know, wanting to do that you didn't want to green light, if we could kind of do that on our own, we'd greatly appreciate it kind of thing. And I think in the grand scheme of things, the Microsoft leadership probably saw it as, well, what's the harm in it? I mean, you'd have an ally and being able to lean on them possibly in the future when you are ready to do a Crash Bandicoot or a Spyro, you know, sequel or something like that. Why not let these guys, you know, kind of do what they want to do if they can get the funding, whether it's, you know, through crowdfunding or, you know, private partnerships and things like that, do their passion project on their own. And then when we give them a call, you know, they pick up the phone and then they'll work on, you know, whatever, you know, platformer we might want them to do. But I think it was those were the basic options that they had. And I think allowing them to go independent, kind of like the way Saber did with Embracer, which, sorry about the cat in the background, but with Embracer, Saber was able to come up with, you know, like $500 million or $500 million, basically to kind of buy themselves out of Embracer, which is kind of like that sinking ship right now where they're, you know, closing studios and doing layoffs. And, you know, Saber Interactive had, what is it, like 3,500 employees. And I think Toys for Bob is somewhere in like the 50 or less range, give or take. So allowing them to go independent, I think this is a kind of a win-win. Yeah, it kind of sucks that they had to go that route as opposed to being able to stay under the Microsoft umbrella or Xbox umbrella. But if you're just going to have these people work as a support studio for Call of Duty and more than likely close them shortly thereafter because you don't have the need necessarily for a platformer at the moment, who does that, you know, service? I mean, you could probably get people to do the support stuff for Call of Duty other, you know, through other means or contracts or other studios within your organization. So for me, I don't see it as an L. I see it as a win-win to kind of keep a name of a studio still alive. But, you know, Gamesley, how do you feel as far as like with them spinning off as a independent studio? Is this something that you feel that is a move in the right direction, or is it like a complete, you know, stumble out of the gate kind of thing? What do you think?
Yeah. So fans are looking at it as, you know, they lost something here and lost talented developers. I from the outside, it looks like that, right? That it's like, oh my God, look, this beautiful team that they had that made so many good games. I'm pretty sure Toys for Bob even invented Skylanders, right? Like all that cool stuff. They really did have hits on their hands. So we look at it and we jump at the first impression and we're like, oh my God, this is bad. But when you take a step back, I think the leadership, so Toys for Bob was very much dissected and made and formed into something they probably didn't want to do for a very long time. So it might not be the same studio. There might not be the same people there. They might have left the company. The people might have got fired already that made these games. Microsoft maybe Microsoft was looking at it and probably said, look, we need to, you know, cut some things. We need to save some costs. More layoffs are going to probably happen. Optically, it doesn't look good if we lay off people as the industry sees more and more layoffs and they get attacked for it and all that stuff. So optically, I'm just like, okay, well, if we want to save money and make money, you know, why not let these guys just go? We don't have terrible press. We let them go, form themselves. That's the beauty of the industry. When people leave, they create smaller studios, nimble support studios. By the way, small, nimble support studios and co-development give us stuff like Smash Brothers, by the way. a lot of Nintendo games, by the way, are not in-house. So just to put that in perspective, this is not always going to lead to terrible things and loss of talent and loss of IPs. They retain the IPs. That's an important thing. They don't have to pay these guys on a payroll anymore, and they still license out, and they still make money from them, and they save money from them. So letting them go be independent is a win for Microsoft, and apparently win for the leadership of this team that was probably gutted and destroyed, right? So the leadership of this team probably went to Microsoft and like, look, give us this. We have low morale within Activision Blizzard. We have low morale within this machine that you got. Even if you give us a little building and you let us do our thing, we don't like that. Let us do this. I think that's what happened. They let it happen, and it's a win-win. They get Crash Bandicoot, maybe. They get Spyro, maybe. Whatever. We'll see a partnership there for sure. Partnerships are not bad, guys. You have partnerships with Riot. You have partnerships with, they have partnerships with EA right now. It's all in Game Pass. They have partnership with Sega. Sega makes a lot of Microsoft games. Like, I don't see how this is a loss in the extent that we're saying. Again, first impressions, you're like, damn, we lost something. I get it. I understand it. But the industry is very dynamic. Partnerships also produce very high quality products. Let this be a partnership. It's okay. Everybody kind of wins here, in my eyes. Good-ish press on the Microsoft side, because the headline could have been, oh my God, Toys for Bob fired and destroyed, right? And then we would have been really outraged. But I think we hit a
They're happy doing that now. Line. They're doing that yeah. now, young man.
Yeah, yes, they are. They definitely are. But to a lesser extent. I think it's a happy medium. I think it could have been a much worse situation. So shout out to Toys for Bob. I hope they win out of this. And I hope that Microsoft gets a win out of this as well. And we'll see where this goes. Nothing could be perfect, guys.
All right. You guys ready for Microsoft pulling the okie doke on everybody again?
Well, you know, let's get your hot take on it, because you said you mentioned something about this. Now, I have a running theory. I don't know if it runs parallel to yours, Sir X-Men.
We but think it a might. Little bit the same sometimes.
All right, so let's get your hot take on this. Is this a bad thing that this studio wants to go indie in return? Because I think, and just for some context, Sir X-Men, folks, if you didn't know, this studio is known for platformers. They're known for making family, childlike, or making games for your inner child. Like someone like me, I'm 53, but I will definitely get down on a new platformer from Toys for Bob, whatever that may be, whether that's a new Crash, a new Spyro, a new Banjo, or a new IP altogether. I'm all in because I like those games. That's how I grew up. I grew up on platformers.
Me too.
But it's safe to say, if you didn't know, while under the ownership of Activision, they were a studio removed from what they loved and what they knew how to make. They were put into the salt mines, if you will, of Call of Duty. This gets them out of those salt mines to make games that they're really good at making. But let's hear your theory.
All right. Here's my theory, everybody. Activision was bought by Microsoft. Toys for Bob was under Activision. So they had to give, with the new deal that was explained, every Activision game that came out that was brand new had to be given to everybody else. So by them separating them from Activision, from Microsoft and Activision now, they can give it to anybody they want to. So Microsoft said, look, we're going to go under the table. We're going to separate you. We'll still help you out a little bit financially, you know, help you out financially. And then they void that contract because they are not under Activision anymore. So they don't have to give their game to everybody. So when a brand new Spyro or Bandicoot comes out, they can say, look, we got an exclusive deal with Microsoft for this game. No, we're not under Activision. You can't touch us anymore. And they can make those games exclusive to Microsoft or Steam, anywhere they want. They don't have to give it to PlayStation. They don't have to give it to Nintendo. Toys for Bob decides where that game goes, because it does not have to be given to anybody else, because now they're an independent company. And that's Microsoft playing the okey-doke again to everybody. Put in a little wool. Let them complain. Oh, they left. They gone. They can do whatever they want. But they're still friends with Microsoft. So
yeah, you know what?
It could be an Xbox exclusive.
Yes.
With indeed. Game Pass, or even if you have to buy it on Xbox. They can do whatever they want to. So they don't fall under that contract deal anymore made by the EU and everybody else for it to be running through Ubisoft or anything like that. That's literally
what I thought. Exactly.
Uh-huh. I had a feeling we were thinking the same way. Microsoft schemes. They don't do anything for it not being a reason. As many studios as they have, for them to get rid of that little bitty studio like that with all the other studios they have, they're pulling the wool over everybody's eye. And I love the way they think. They've always thought like that. They look for the future. They plan things for the future. They don't plan things like just like willy-nilly like that. So they're pulling just like a few other things going on, like these games they give. We'll talk about that another day. Boom. But they're playing people, and they're playing them like a fiddle.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. Actually, here's a good question. Now, JetFan95, welcome to the program. He's actually responding to Crispy Bomb, who's in the chat. So shout out to Crispy being
here. Hi, Crispy. Well, I love you, buddy.
He says, what prevents someone like a Nintendo from buying Toys for Bob now? You don't spend $70 billion to freely give up a part of that $70 billion evaluation for literally nothing. So here's the thing, JetFan. I would imagine that in the contract that they're going to sign with Toys for Bob to remain independent or to go independent, they're going to have first refusal, meaning that if anyone tries to buy them, Microsoft has the right by contract to say, no, you offered them this, we're buying them. And that's going to be in writing. They're not going to lose Toys for Bob. No one's going to like for instance, I saw some of the rhetoric. Oh, well, Sony may sweep in and, well, everything is good. That's not the way business works. And they're a $3 trillion company for a reason. No one is going to swoop in and buy Toys for Bob. And you know why? Because Toys for Bob is running the show. As a matter of fact, I just finished listening to the Xbox 2 podcast with Jez Corden and, of course, Randall Thor 19. And Jez Corden said, he literally said that the one steamrolling this, the one in charge of this whole conversation wasn't Activision. It wasn't Microsoft. It was Toys for Bob. They wanted to do this. Microsoft obliged. And they are currently in the process of putting a contract where they're going to work with Microsoft. Now, does that make sense to me? Not really. But what it does mean is, listen to the words that Sir X-Men are saying. Mm-hmm. He literally basically told you what was happening. Toys for Bob is going to be an independent company now.
Independent contractor. Right.
Right. They're going to be contracted, outsourced, if you will, by Microsoft, no longer a part of Activision, which was a part of the deal with the CMA and the EU Commission and everyone else. They're not going to be bound by those rules because they are now independent. Is this a scam?
It's all legal, Boom. It's all legal, and can nobody do anything about it?
Yeah. So they're allowing
guys. I'm so sorry, Boom. Guys in chat, like that, arguing back and forth about it. Look, guys, Activision, Blizzard, King own those IPs.
Yes.
Studios are not perfect. As I said on the top, Nintendo makes a ton of money off of licensing those things and making other studios do their thing. Yep. Smash Brothers is a perfect freaking example, right? Yep. Smash Brothers is their IP that is outsourced to other studios, and they make bank off of it. It's okay. Same Grand thing with Spider-Man. Yeah, exactly. Spider-Man. Disney doesn't own a studio making Spider-Man. What did they do? They made bank on leasing their IP to Insomniac to do it for them. These things happen. Spyro, we're going to see. Banjo, we're going to see. As long as it's a Microsoft IP, that's all that matters. And Toys for Bob is going to get wealthy, so will Microsoft. And that's it. That's all. No studio is perfect forever. We don't know. You're getting angry that like Toys for Bob is like a genius studio. Guys, relax. Relax. They're going to make some good games for Microsoft. We all win. All right?
Yeah, it's like when, what's it called? The studio that made that game when Xbox first came out that now Sony has that makes Spider-Man.
Oh, you're talking about, oh my God.
I know the game too. Sunset Overdrive, right? Microsoft owned the rights to that game for a while. And that company was independent at the time. And they made the game for Xbox. They didn't make it for PlayStation. They licensed it for Xbox. This is going to be the same situation right here.
And some that will argue and say, you know, well, that's the point. Now we won't get a Sunset Overdrive 2 just as good and blah blah blah. No, guys, there's always a risk for that stuff happening. Let's just trust the IP and wherever the IP goes. You know, it took Star Wars a long time to find, let's say, Respawn, right, to make a great Star Wars game. But look at the Star Wars games we're getting. Freaking great Star Wars games. So don't worry about it. And it's all benefiting Disney. So same thing with Microsoft. If there's going to be a great Spyro game, it might take a little bit. When there's a great Spyro game, you give them a three series contract for Spyro, and we see what happens. They all save money and make money. It doesn't matter, guys. So let's calm down.
Yes. Real quick, let me see. Scott Free in the chat says, go look, Sony owns Sunset Overdrive. No, they do. They absolutely do. They own the IP. Here's the problem. In the contract, Microsoft has publishing rights on both sequels. So what does that mean? Well, if Sunset Overdrive 2 is released on PlayStation 5, it's going to get an Xbox version because they own those next two sequels. They have that contract is a binding piece of contract. Could Sony break the contract and pay a fine? Sure. I don't know if they want to. I don't know if they can afford to be honest with you. But the reason why you don't see Sunset Overdrive 2 or 3 is because the publishing rights, they go to Xbox, to Microsoft. They own those. The IP is now owned by Sony because they bought Insomniac, but not the publishing rights. So you can go check that out. That's very easily attainable information. So that's why you have not seen a Sunset Overdrive 2. And to be quite frank, where would they have time? They are literally still carrying Sony. They just continue to just put out great games. Whether you thought Spider-Man 2 was great or it's not, I quite enjoyed it. It's standards Insomniac. That's what I like. So I enjoyed the game. But that's why you haven't seen the Sunset Overdrive 2, and I don't know if you will, to be quite frank. Okay, so look, the bottom line is this. I don't know if this is someone's going to consider this as an excuse or not, and that's fine if you do. I'm not going to fight with you. I think Toys for Bob wanting to go independent does two things here. It allows the studio to get back to its roots, and I'm all for it. And Microsoft, and specifically Xbox, likes letting their developers do what they want to do because great games are made under those conditions. That's number one. Number two, which runs parallel, and I think Sir X-Men explained it perfectly, is the fact that they will not be bound to put their next game on competing platforms if they choose not to, because they are an indie studio that has broken away from Activision. And Microsoft has allowed for that to happen. So is it marketing genius? Is it going in between the buy lines? Maybe, but it's legal. And that's what they're doing. And I think everyone wins. Honestly, I think that it's a win-win for everyone. It's a win for Xbox. It's a win for Microsoft. And more importantly, and this is the most important factor, it's a win for Toys for Bob. That studio could go back to doing what they're known for doing, and that is making family-friendly games and amazing platformers, and hopefully their next game is Banjo-Kazooie because, damn, like, come on. We need one already. But I do want to move on, folks, to the last topic of the show. And this is the one that was announced today. And, of course, thanks to Gamzee, who I'll go to first here. He's the one that actually, well, a lot of people DM'd me. So a big thank you to everyone that DM'd me. But specifically Gamzee, because, well, he's on the show. And he's like, hey, boom, breaking news. Check it out. So what do we have here? Well, I have the presser in front of me. And it is the it says this, folks. Xbox Partner Preview, March 2024. We're back with a fresh look at games for Xbox and Windows. This is happening March 6th, 2024 on Wednesday. It's going to be 10 a.m. Pacific time, 1 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Ground or GMT. I don't know if the channel is going to cover it. I might. I have to see if I can get a panel to join me, but I got to see if I have the time more specifically because I do have primetime gaming that evening. And we have a couple of guests joining us. So what we'll do is I might actually not stream it, watch it just as a fan, and, you know, obviously react to it on Primetime Gaming, which is 7 p.m. on Wednesday. But here is the presser, folks, and it says this, Gamzee. Today, we're thrilled to announce the next Xbox Partner Preview, this time featuring a mix of new and upcoming games for you from publishers like Capcom, Nexon, and EA. And others with more than a dozen new trailers over the course of a 30-minute broadcast. So it's going to be 30 minutes. During the Xbox Partner Preview, you can learn more about combat and traversal in Tales of Kenzera, which looks... I think this is going to be one of those games that you that gets Game of the Year conversation. I really do. It looks so special. I did not play the demo. I know it's out on Steam. I was talking to Gams and said, I don't want to play the demo. I kind of want to just... really enjoy it with fresh eyes. I don't want any. I've seen the trailer. That's good enough for me. I bought the game. I was saying to Gamzee, I hope that Microsoft drops the bag and puts this into Game Pass. I really do. This game is special. I want more people playing it. I want more eyes on it. And I hope this man that made the game gets a bag. And even if it drops into Game Pass, I'm not canceling my pre-order. I'm still supporting that dev because this game is going to be something special. Also, a part of it is going to be new gameplay from Kenitsu Gami Path of the Goddess. That's that that new IP from Capcom. I'm sorry, that game looks dope. And that is also Game Pass day and date. And a closer look at the first Berserker, which looks amazing. It says here, and other great titles coming to Xbox, Windows, and or Game Pass. Our partner preview format is all about sharing exciting games, games news from our talented studios from across the globe with no frills, just new game reveals, release dates announcements, as well as fresh new gameplay for upcoming games, coupled with unique behind-the-scenes stories from the developers on Xbox Wire. This sounds very exciting. This is going to be a really big deal. Let's talk about it, Gamzee.
Yeah, let's go. I'm so excited. This is what we have podcasts for, to talk games, and this is going to give us some more games, right? We talked about all the politics and all the money stuff and the comparing to Sony and all that, but this is what it's all about, games. I'm so ready. The first Berserker of Kazan looks freaking amazing, all right? I don't know if chat has seen this game, but go look at that. It's a great game. I'm going to start with a question around the panel. So we know that there's going to be three updates, right? They said a dozen games. So that's a lot of games being shown in about 30 minutes. They did say that some of them will show up on Game Pass. So we could probably guess, like you said, Tales maybe being announced for Game Pass, and others. What do we think we're going to see here? What other partners? So we just said partners are important, right? Toys for Bob. What do we see here? Do we actually get a tease of something Toys for Bob? No, won't happen, but too early. But what do we see? What do we see? Do we see a Square Enix pop up here? What do we see?
Interesting. Here, guys?
Let's go around the table. I want to talk games. Let's get some guessing going on, even in the chat. Let me see games you want to see or partners you want to see pop up in Game Pass or whatever. Let's talk about it.
Oh, I got a big one.
Well, yeah, you should ask me. Go first, brother. Break it down.
All right. Remember a few years ago when Dreamcast guy announced the list of the stolen games from Capcom when they did a data file on them and they put it all out there?
Yep.
And Power Stones was supposed to be coming out in 2024, this year.
Whoa.
And that was one of their projects. So if they could announce that from Capcom at the showcase that Xbox is doing, that would be the biggest jaw drop in the world for a new Power Stones. And that's what I'm hoping for. That's about it. I just wanted to throw that as a reminder because a lot of people forgot about that years ago when that mine thing came out.
Yeah, that would be cool. I personally want to see, like, everybody's posting this one in chat that I think would be awesome. Replaced showing up again.
Oh, yeah, dude. Replaced. Yes.
Yeah, good call out in chat. That's a great one.
How about this one? How about this one? Yeah, I don't think it would show up there because they already have a big one there. They want to show off their new IP, but my God, there better be a Dino Crisis soon. We have here Cecil Bell says, "No rest for the wicked."
That would be a great game.
That would be a good one as well because that game looks dope AF.
How about you, Fuzzy? If you had to pick like one partner, what would you like to see from them?
I think it's still too early for the game, though. But Black Myth Wukong coming to Game Pass day and date would be nice.
Oh, imagine.
But I see a couple of them, like what people have mentioned, like what Replace would definitely be a good one. 33 Immortals was another one. And then also Flintlock, which I think that's supposed to be coming out this year. It got delayed out of last year. So
yeah, that's coming this year.
That Path of the Goddess, I know that's already been announced, but that I definitely want to see more of. I mean, there's so many awesome ones that they've shown over the years. Like at some point, I'm hoping we see something about The Last Knight. I know that dev.
That game so bad. That dev got himself in a little bit of a pickle. Remember that was shown at E3 years ago.
Yeah, but he's come up with a new technology that kind of helps with remastering certain like pixelated style games or something like that. So that he could have stumbled across something that will help his game as well as other games in the future. But 33 Immortals Replaced. Maybe we hear about Silk Song.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
And yeah, I got two drooling over here. Stop it.
Two people in the chat that this sounds like if either, first of all, imagine if it's both of these games, but if it's just one, I'm good. Darren Batten says the Wu-Tang Clan game. How I would roll that out is I would just roll out one of their songs, the screen go black, and then you show the game. Yes. We also have here Eat Fresh Guy says Hades 2.
Yeah.
That's another big one. Holy cow. Yeah.
If I could sizzle it down.
It's coming to early access for PC, I think, but Xbox has an early access program to some extent or preview program, so that would be nice if we get it now.
Gasly, is Sega supposed to be there also?
We don't know. No, it doesn't say anything about Sega, but that would be cool. Yeah, yeah.
It would be cool.
Sega has been a partner for so long, so I wouldn't be surprised if whatever Sega, maybe we get more of that Metaphor? More stuff on Metaphor, maybe a little gameplay.
I just wanted to condemn 3.
That would be kind of cool. What I was thinking, it's going to maybe settle down the drooling off of people a little bit, but Square Enix shows up with Final Fantasy Tactics, all of them, in Game Pass. That would be... I would be excited because I'm such a Tactics fan. I would love that.
Well, I have two for you, Gamsley, and this is for the chat. This is for what if, again, this is a huge hypothetical. I have no clue if this could possibly happen. But what if during the partners preview program that we're seeing, we see something similar to, instead of Phil walking out on stage, someone from Square Enix, they show And they announce for this year, Final Fantasy VII Remake and Final Fantasy 16 coming to Xbox.
It would be too big for this show.
it's true. It's only 30 minutes.
It would blow up the stream.
I'm getting ahead of myself here. I'm sorry.
That's why I said tactics. I thought about it. I was like, that's too big, guys. That's too. It would blow up the
You know what
stream.
I would take,
they
honestly?
Die. I don't know.
I like that the tactics idea. I would like the pixel. Like the Final Fantasy VII Pixel Collection.
Yeah.
That's a smaller one for a show like this. Folks, if you didn't know, it released everywhere, even on Amazon, everywhere but Xbox. And that's a dope collection. It's a remastered collection of Final Fantasy I through VI in one freaking place. It's 1,000 hours worth of content right there for you to play, but you can't play it on Xbox. I think that would be kind of dope.
Those were Nintendo games back then.
Yeah, they sure were. Exactly.
Yeah.
And the best. Those would be so perfect for like tactics, Final Fantasy Tactics and the remasters and stuff like that. Those things age so well. Like they don't need a makeup. They age really well. They have a charm still. It would be so beautiful just to have, and they play really well on cloud. They play really well on handhelds. They play well on everything, so having that in Game Pass and Cloud and stuff like that would be awesome. I know I'm getting overhyped for like Pixel remasters, but like that's Square Enix heyday, and to see that partnership get kind of grow in this little direct, or not direct, but partner showcase thing would be nice to see. So I hope we see
you
it.
You like what you like, just like I like the remaster of Tomb Raider. I mean,
yeah,
wrong with that.
but that was awesome.
Yeah,
you played it too. You played it too.
Yeah, man, I play games. See, I play games.
Oh, real quick on that, if you don't mind me, boom. If people got the same problem, I adjusted to it because I'm used to those controllers. They don't like the control scheme. That's
like
how you play
controls, like how you're running how at the camera kind of thing.
Yeah.
I love it, dude.
It's brutal still to me. I kind of still have to get used to it. But
once you get it, you
I
get
still
it.
Love it. Yeah. Once you get it, it hits you. Yeah.
Real quick, gentlemen, before we get out of here, before we do outros, Jay Gaming in the chat says, major news has just dropped. Nintendo has beat Yuzu, and Yuzu will cease to exist. What is Yuzu? I'm one of my
that's devastating.
It's emulation.
It's an emulation thing. Okay, I thought that's what it was. Okay.
Ooh, they won already. They won. Oh man, that's savage. Man. They probably settled. Maybe I don't know the information, but that's,
I think they settled.
Too bad for them because that's
let's hope that Nintendo has its own emulation on PC soon. Although they're going to be playing a game of whack-a-mole, because if Yuzu goes down, another one will pop up in its place.
Indeed.
So Nintendo won or lost? They won.
They won it.
JetFan95 is saying $2.4 million. Is that what the settlement was? That sucks for that team. That sucks.
So for the emulation people, like, you know, that it's a recent emulator, so it did switch stuff, so that's always iffy with legal stuff. Like, it's easy to go attack because these things are still available everywhere, but it's a massive fuck you to customers that just want to play it somewhere else or better. That's not cool.
It actually hurts Nintendo in the future if you think about it, because these people don't know about your game, and you got people putting, and you're not even remaking these games or anything like that. No. So say you brought one later, people would know what your new version is, and they would come to your system to get it. So
like
killing it, go ahead. But you know what I'm saying.
In Nintendo, I just had to get it out of my chest. Like, I feel bad. I also see, like, in Nintendo's head, right, they've been the only ones not, like, in their wizardry, they've been the only ones retaining staff and taking pay cuts and stuff like that. So this is probably one of those measures. Like, you know what? Let's save money by taking down these innocent people for $2.5 million.
Yeah.
So we don't have to lay
listen,
off.
They don't listen,
like hundreds of people.
They're
a bunch of clowns sometimes.
When I first started making videos, right? Like, that's what how you start out on YouTube, right? You make videos, you have something playing in the background. There's no source code. There is no music. It's just your gameplay. I actually wound up getting, I didn't get a strike. But I got like, I had to pull down the video from Nintendo because I had gameplay. And I'm like, wait a second, I bought the game. It's my gameplay. I'm not recording it off of your stuff. It's my stuff. And I said, oh, you know what? I'll never talk about Nintendo or have any of their gameplay playing again because I don't want strikes on the channel over stupidity. But
notorious for that.
That's very unfortunate. And they even hurt their own streamers. People that only stream Nintendo, they've gone after, which is just bonkers.
Nintendo's going to put them, keep doing that, and they're going to put themselves to the point where, okay, people are going to forget about you. They're going to forget about you.
I'd like to believe that's the case, but people are already lining up on midnight for the next Nintendo. It's not even announced yet. So people are sleeping in bags on the side of GameStop.
Yeah.
Look, ladies and gentlemen, this is normally a 90-minute show. We want to pinch over. A big thank you to everyone that tuned in. We had over 600 people here today. Let's get to the outros to get you on out of here. Let me just make sure I'm caught up on all of the super chats. And yes, I am. So thank you, folks, you fine folks, for the generosity with the continued support, not only through channel membership, but of course, the super chats that you drop during the live streams. It is Gamsley. Let's start with you, brother. What you got going on? Because obviously, we know that you have a show with Asa every week. We like know more about that, what you guys are talking about, when that happens, and where people can follow you on social media.
Yeah, on X it's just Gamsley TKD, so at Gamsley TKD at it's all one thing on X. On YouTube, wow, I stuttered there hard. On YouTube, at Gaming Arcadia, that's where Asa has all his new podcasts. They're great. They're awesome. Asa's amazing. Game on Asa is awesome. So is Deadly Headley. He's my co-host on the Xbox Series podcast on that channel at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And here every Monday at 12 for the lunch break special. Yeah, I love you guys. Again, I love this community. All of you guys in chat, even though I hate all the haters, all right? You're just going to have to stick up with me. annoying voice. No, shout out to all of you guys. The haters are not. I don't care. You guys show up. I love you all. And you too, Fuzzy, you and your bald, beautiful, shiny head. I'm going to keep bringing it up. YouTube boom. And Sir X-Men, first time I've been on a podcast with you. It was a pleasure. Thanks for coming. Love you guys.
Love you too, brother. Thank you so much for being a part of the show each and every week, and glad to have you here. Fuzzy Belvedere, let's tell everyone about the best place for anything and everything in the racing genre. Folks, we're on a hunt to get Fuzzy Belvedere to 500 subscribers on YouTube. Fuzzy, drop that link in the chat so people could actually subscribe. And more importantly, where can people find you on other podcasts and reach out to you on social media?
As always, thank you for having me on. It was awesome being on here with you guys. Always awesome when we have a special guest like Sir X-Men. Thank you for hopping in with us as well. Love hearing your takes. And that was a pretty good one as far as when it came to Toys for Bob. I never thought of that. That definitely makes some sense with how Microsoft moves and stuff. But thanks to everybody in the chat for joining us. Greatly appreciate you guys, you know, tuning in, interacting with us. We greatly appreciate all the time and support. If you haven't already, hit that like button. Subscribe if you haven't already. For those that want to hear my endless rambles and rants on anything gaming related, just follow me on the app formerly known as Twitter at Fuzzy_Belvedere. You can also find me on FSP on Fun Speculations channel later on tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then tomorrow, I'm doing a new podcast with 3Bit called Pixelated Echoes. And we're going to have Mav and King David as special guests tomorrow. So that's 8 p.m. on Pixelated Echoes. It's basically a new podcast with me and 3Bit just going over, you know, Xbox news, gaming news in general, and some industry stuff as well. And then hopefully everybody, hope to see you here in chat later this week for Friday for Breakfast with Boom at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on this channel. Hope to see you there. Thanks again.
Thank you so much. And Sir X-Men, sell the brand, brother. Tell everyone where they can find you on other podcasts and, more importantly, follow you on social media.
I hate social media, but on X, I don't really do much on there. Just put things that I like. Sometimes it's not even game related. I share out people's shows and things like that so people can know to go when they get live. If you don't see the notification.
Share anymore. Mine, man. Jeez, God. Shit. Shows of love.
But tomorrow, oh, and it's Sir X-Man. It's Sir X-Man on Xbox. It's Sir X-Man on Twitter, just the way it's spelled. Tomorrow I'll be on with C-Money, Dirt, Griggity, and Doodle. So nice. I got the invite about 2 weeks ago. So he asked me to jump in, come in for the show, and I said, okay. Normally on Fridays, I'm on GRG with K-Mega, you know, and the host of regulars. And that's about it. I don't do much. I jump into people's podcasts. I was like, hey, boom, I'm free.
Well, we're happy to have you here, brother. Thank you.
That's it.
All right. Well, listen, thank you again for joining us. We super appreciate it, Sir X-Man. And obviously look forward to having you back here, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, that is going to do it for the Xbox Lunch Break Special. I'm your host, Mr. Boomstick XL. And of course, I'm going to close out the show with something that's incredibly important to me. Hopefully one day be important to you. And that's something that my dad taught us when we were kids. And he would say, Craig, treat others how you want to be treated. And also, it doesn't cost anything to be nice. You live by those rules, son. I can guarantee you, you're going to have an awesome day. So take care, everyone. And we'll see you next week on the newest episode of the Xbox Lunch Break Special.